Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental.
We'll kind of start the conversation off, obviously, Lake Committee, a lot more talk last night about Vandalia Lake and the siltation issues, and a lot of residents were there concerned about the issues. So I know your comment was last night, you gave your word, you're moving forward with this, and I think you already were last night before the meeting was over, really.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's been an interesting almost 24 hours. I've learned a lot about Lake issues. You know, I had a long conversation this morning with the gentleman who was there last night, you know, who got 40 years of experience in this. So, yeah, you know, there was, again, first of all, thanks to all the citizens that showed up, expressed their concern. Again, this is the process and how it's supposed to work. So a lot of great questions, things we need to think about, things we didn't have answers for that we need to come up with some. So, again, that really appreciate everybody's input. You know, a lot of focusing on, well, why hasn't this happened in the past? But my message was, we can't fix that. All we can do is move forward. So to that extent, yeah, I mean, this, you know, I just got off the phone right before this with Russ Dunkel, our, you know, the Lake Committee chairman. You know, this is now, you know, I guess everything moves up on the priority list. This now becomes priority number one, right? It is our water source. You know, we've got to make sure we're protecting it. And, you know, that was my commitment last night to do that moving forward.
I know the question was asked last night of the percentage that the lake is the city's water source, and basically pretty close to 100% right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, then, you know, the question was asked, you know, what's the backup? And, you know, unfortunately, the answer is there isn't. So, and that's part of all of this. And, you know, I mentioned to you, and you covered it this morning, you know, this is kind of a three-step approach here at this point. And, you know, I can already tell you what my plan is. You know, at the next council meeting, you know, we're going to have an individual there, the gentleman that was at the meeting last night. He's going to give us a proposal of doing some type of lake study. You know, again, he's got years of experience, understands this, has done this kind of work in the past, and he's, you know, offered to give us a proposal to take a look. You know, and again, there's going to be a lot that goes into it. One of them is, you know, a siltation survey was mentioned last night. So, you know, we'll have a quote before the next meeting to have a firm come in and actually do a siltation study of the entire lake and kind of see where those hot spots are, so to speak. Ultimately leading into what we need to do is have what they call a watershed plan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a bigger, longer, complicated process. But I've actually had a conversation earlier today with Karen Sanders at the Soil and Water Conservation District. They're going to help us apply for a grant. There is grant funding to put that watershed plan together. So, you know, I think that's due in October. So we were going to, you know, we're going to start that process again. And that's, you know, the siltation is just that. It focuses on siltation. The watershed plan includes the siltation survey, but also the input from all the stakeholders, which is the city, the property owners around it, the farmers who, you know, farm the fields that feed into the lake as well. So we have to have that to ultimately go for what we call a 319 grant application. That's where, you know, the EPA state funding is available to address issues regarding the lake. You know, that next round of applications will be August of next year. So the timing of that is that, yeah, we get these plans, these agreements in place, you know, submit an application, identify what needs to be done. What people need to keep in mind, though, it's my understanding that a 319 grant application, those funds can't be used to dredge. So there's a lot of discussion about dredging. And I think you and I even maybe talked about this a little bit last week. You know, we don't have any idea what that would cost. The initial number that was being thrown around, more like a dart on a dartboard, was, you know, $10 million. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to have to take this as a phased-in approach. And, you know, that's so again, in the last 24 hours, it's been pretty active. But again, my commitment is, you know, this is one of the top priorities moving forward.
And I know you mentioned this last night. You're dealing with government. This is the city's water source. You're going to have to deal with EPA and other groups. So it's not there's going to be times that you're pushing a rock up a hill.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, back to that 319 grant application, you know, so you apply next year, you know, it may take a year, believe it or not, to get any type of approval. So you're 2 years out. And that's just to get the approval. And then there's all the stuff that goes in after the fact. So in the meantime, we've got one cove that's obviously a real concern. We don't have that the luxury of time. So what we're going to come up with or try to come up with is a plan to address that. And that ultimately may mean we have to use, you know, some of our own funds. You know, in a perfect world, you wait on government grants to come through to pay for that. Again, we don't have the luxury of time. And so, you know, that's something, and it's part of one of the three steps I talked about, you know, last night. You know, you had to identify the problem, how much is it going to cost, and how you're going to pay for it. So, and part of identifying the problem is to what you just said, you know, what regulatory issues do we have to abide by, or, you know, what rules do we have to play with?
So it was mentioned, you know, having an alternative water source. And when I came to town 25 years ago, the river was, I think, the main water source at that time. But then there's been changes since, and it kind of went away for a while. Is there any possibility of bringing that back, maybe looking back at the river intake to see if that could be repaired maybe?
Yeah. I'm going to, I guess, plead ignorance here. I don't know the history there. I just know it didn't work, right? But we have an intake at the river that doesn't work. And, you know, a very good question last night was, what happens if your water source gets compromised? You know, again, I refer to Matt Toon a few times. They had that situation several weeks ago. I think absolutely we have to reengage the conversation as to what happened there, what went wrong, why can't this be fixed? And so, you know, again, that's to your point, that's something absolutely has to be part of that conversation.
So kind of switching gears a little bit, talk a little bit more. I know you're going to have a work session coming up before the next meeting to kind of address property issues and talk a little bit more about that process, because it has been something addressed by the alderman quite a bit over the past few meetings.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go back and play the transcripts from, you know, at least three of the meetings since I've been mayor, there were, you know, lots of conversations about particular properties. And, you know, I think if you played them back, they'd be a similar conversation, right? So, you know, we just need to figure out what we can do, and more importantly, what we can do better. And what I've asked the council to do, the next meeting will be actually on the 22nd, because we're moving it back a week. But before that council meeting at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a public safety or code enforcement meeting, where, you know, Zach, our code enforcement officer, is going to come in. He's going to give us his list of things that he's working on, and we're going to talk about our process. You know, what do we have to file everything using an attorney? I mean, is there another way that we can do things more efficiently to get to the ultimate goal, which is, you know, addressing the concerns we have with some of these nuisance properties? You know, last night, our city attorney did announce he's got a court date in October for a couple of the properties that we've been looking at. We actually already have bids. So assuming that the judge rules grants us the permission on October 6th, October 7th, you know, we'll probably be in the process of those properties coming down. But it's even more than that too. It's, you know, making sure Zach has the support and the authority to do his job, you know. And it, also then there's a balance of, and we've heard this comment a lot too, you know, the answer maybe isn't always just go tear the properties down. Is there a way to salvage some of these? There are landlords and developers in the area that, you know, have taken older properties that most people wouldn't want any part of and have been able to fix them up and keep them on the tax roll. So, you know, again, I just, the whole purpose of the work meeting or the work session will be just to, you know, memorialize our process, see if there's a way to become more efficient, and then clearly state what the goals of the city are moving forward with regards to property management.
And it's one of those things, trying to be proactive. You've seen that this is obviously an issue. Maybe this isn't the right word, but there might be a little bit of a disconnect on the process between the alderman and Zach Kopp and those guys on what they're doing. I don't know that they're, because they're not there every day, obviously.
Yeah, no.
So they don't know everything that's going on, and this might help a little bit with communication too.
Yeah, I mean, we've commented in the past. I mean Zach keeps a running log of, he gives us a report each month of what he's doing. He's also got a book. There's, I think, 18 properties that are in the book, right, that he's continuing logging, that are, you know, in the works of some type of settlement, whether it's, you know, again, part of his job is, you know, he has to issue tickets, you know, and it's an unpleasant job he has. I mean, that, there's no way around it. I mean, I've always said he doesn't really usually deliver good news. Now, one of the aldermen did say, well, the good news sometimes is that we take an old property and the neighbors around it are thankful. And that's true, but he's got a very difficult job. And so, you know, we try to be as transparent as we can, but, you know, to your point, aldermen aren't there on a day in and day out basis. So that's why we're going to have this meeting, kind of lay all the cards on the table. Here's what's in the works. What's the council's priorities, you know, and give some a sense of direction moving forward.
So on a good note, Amber Dalbaugh officially hired last night. She starts this coming week. So that's great news.
Yeah, absolutely. She starts September 9th. You know, she's excited about it. I know I'm excited about it. I think everybody at City Hall is. I mean, you know, Amber was a popular person there. I know everybody was excited when, you know, she made the decision to come back. So there's a lot of things, a lot of conversations going on. You know, she's going to be wearing the two hats. She's going to be doing ED as well as tourism. You know, we're going into the holidays. She's going to have a lot on her plate right out of the gate. And then we're, you know, again, with the Economic Development Commission, we're going to finalize that now that she's in place, and we'll have our first meeting probably early October and, you know, start getting some community involvement as well.
It is kind of interesting because there's a lot of things that she started when she was there before. She can kind of pick up the ball and just keep going.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, that's, you know, again, we talked about the business district. That was something that she had been working on, the comprehensive plan. I mean, she was here in 2019 when that was developed. So having somebody who understands the work that went into it and was part of it is definitely going to be a real value moving forward.
So anything else you'd like to add?
No, just put couple things. One, boat races this weekend.
Yep.
You want to put a plug in. I think the weather looks like it's going to be great.
Very good.
Encourage people to come out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, there'll be some food trucks out there, I believe, on Friday, Saturday, if I remember right.
Saturday, Sunday.
I'm sorry. Thank you. So, you know, we think anywhere from, you know, 50 to 75 racers. Matter of fact, some of them, it's my understanding, are already starting to pull into town. You know, and so yeah, I think the weather is going to be great. It's going to showcase our lake. Hopefully it's an event that we can really, you know, capitalize on, and, you know, maybe even see it grow in the future. So that, and then I just, you know, we talk about Charter's Patio a lot, but last Sunday Ruby Lee was in town, mm-hmm. and it was Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and there were over a couple hundred people watching a very nice concert. So you know, again, showcasing our downtown. So thanks to everybody. I know there's a lot of sponsors that put money into those, you know, John and his team, you know, get line up those acts, but for me, there's nothing more rewarding than to sit in a lawn chair on a street on a Sunday evening, a beautiful night, listening to somebody with a tremendous amount of talent in our small town. So congratulations to everyone who makes those things happen.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at VandaliaRadio.com.